Good to see all of you here this evening. Please have your Bibles ready to study along this evening. I want to talk to you about the power of prayer and what a positive thing it is in our life that we have to be able to approach our God and talk to Him in prayer. There's a significant amount of research that has been done about the benefits of prayer, and all of it comes down on the side of being a very positive influence in our life. It has effect on those who are terminally ill in a good way. It can uplift those who are facing surgeries. I had a funny occurrence one time a few years ago. A man in the congregation where I was preaching was to have surgery, and they were going to go early. He said, no, my preacher isn't here yet. We can't go. And I showed up. I was early, but I showed up just a minute later. He said, now we can go. People like prayer, and they like to have prayer said before those kinds of occasions. And we've always known as Christians that there are benefits from prayer, and it seems that medical research is finally catching up and picking up on the fact that prayer is a good thing. But I want to just look at some basic things from the Scriptures this evening. So again, follow along with me. We'll be turning to the book of Ephesians, first of all. The Apostle Paul, of course, in writing here to the church at Ephesus, is going to encourage prayer, obviously, from the church at Ephesus, from those Christians. But notice that in chapter 6 and in verse 18, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So Paul here talks about the fact that we are to be constant. We are to be committed in our life of prayer, and that this is something that we ought to do in the Spirit, as he says. But he talks about the fact of the supplication that we make for all the saints. And we indeed find that to be a very valuable thing that we do as a congregation of God's people, that it's a great service that is rendered to us to provide that prayer list for those of the congregation and those who are outside of the congregation who are very special to us. And perhaps you've experienced the fact that people who know that you're a Christian, and we talked about that this morning, you ought to be living so that they do know that, they'll come to you and they'll ask you to pray on behalf of their family, their friends, because people really truly do understand that there's a very powerful benefit to prayer. Turn over to Paul's letter to the Philippians, to the fourth chapter. And again, Paul will talk here about prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and at verse 2, or excuse me, verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul talks about having an attitude of not worrying about things, but rather praying about it. And yet, as man, we've turned that around and we've basically said, why pray when I can worry? We think that worry is going to solve a lot of things, and yet there is a peace that will come to us if we spend our time in prayer. And he says, let your request, let those things be made known to God. And then in the Colossian letter, in the fourth chapter, Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 2, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, continue earnestly in prayer. Some of the versions say, devote yourself to prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. The idea of keeping a vigil, of keeping a watch, being steady in prayer. And I hope that that idea is sinking in with you, that we need to be constant in prayer, just as we talked this morning about being consistent and constant in our life as a Christian. We also need to be the same way in our prayer life, because that's part of it. Now let's turn to James, to the fifth chapter, and notice some things that James says here. James chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16. James chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. He says, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So again, the idea here is constancy in prayer, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And it says that the prayer of faith will save the sick. That's why we take the time to announce those who are having illnesses and those who are having surgeries. And because we understand that there's power in that prayer, that God does answer our prayer. And there's also the forgiveness of sin for the child of God. If he has sinned, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. What a blessing it is for us to be able to go to God in prayer as a child of God and say, God, I've sinned. I've transgressed your law, and I need your forgiveness. I need the cleansing blood of Jesus. That's a great privilege that we have. But notice that he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. We don't do a whole lot of confessing to one another. In fact, most of the time when someone responds in some way to the gospel invitation, it's a very generic type of statement that is made there, and that's all fine. But we need to acknowledge to each other that we have faults, that we have areas where we need each other's help, and pray for one another. I would suggest that you keep a directory. Gary may have to make another run of the directories, but that's okay. He'll be happy to do that. But keep that with you, it tucked into your Bible when you pray. And maybe divide that list up into three or four sections and pray for the members of the congregation. Pray for one. That's what we're called upon to do with here in the Scripture, is to pray for one another. So let's be doing that. And then finally along this line, let's look in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Then we'll move on and make some application here. 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 7. Peter says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Now, we don't know when the end is going to be. But Peter wrote this a long time ago. And the attitude that the Scripture tells us that we ought to have is that we don't know when the end is. It can be any moment. And we're to live that way. But I tell you, if there was ever a time where we needed to pray, it's now. But that could be said of every generation. We need to pray. He says the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. How many of you have prayed today? Go ahead, raise your hands. How many of you prayed today? How many prayed besides the time that we were in services together? Very good, very good. That's commitment. That's taking it serious that we need to be praying. Not just when we come together as the church, not just when we gather for a meal. Those are appropriate times to pray as well. But we need to be a prayerful people, and we need to spend a lot of time in prayer, be serious about our prayer. Now, let's talk about something a little more practical here. We've looked at a few verses about prayer, but I hope to convey to some in the audience who may not know this, but there are certainly going to be those who are older Christians, more mature Christians, are going to need to hear this as well. But the very simple question is, how do I start praying? How do I start? And it's really very simple. The answer is really very simple. There's no complex formula like some religious groups teach that you have to pray in a certain way or use certain things in addition to your speaking to God. But it may be something that's a bit difficult for some people to just grasp, but it's really very simple. How is it that I can cultivate that relationship with God, that very intimate relationship with God, that is going to let me talk to Him? Because that's what prayer is. It's just talking to God. And why is it that this is so important? We've looked at the Scriptures already that talk about the seriousness of prayer and talked about the value of prayer. But what about the value that we derive? What about the blessings that we receive through prayer? So let's think about those things for just a moment. What we're going to do is we're going to take our thoughts and our wants and our needs and our desires and our concerns and our fears and our worries and our anxieties and our thankfulness, and we're just going to start talking to God. That's what we're going to do. Prayer is conversation. Conversation is a two-way street. Now, this seems pretty obvious, but when you think about it, that's really all it is. It's just talking to God. But it's sometimes not as easy as we might think. And it might be a little bit intimidating for people to think, well, me? Who am I to talk to God? Well, if you're a blood-bought member of the family of God, you're His child. And just think about the relationship that you've had with your earthly parents where you talk to them. Or think about this. Have you ever had a close, intimate relationship with somebody that you never talked to? Of course not. When we build that kind of close relationship, we talk to that person. We find out about them. We tell them about ourselves. And it's ridiculous for us to think that we can have that kind of relationship with God, where we can talk to God without knowing about Him. And after all, He knows all about us. So what we've got to do is to learn more about God, and that's part of the reason why we come together as we do to learn more about God. But let's stop pretending that we don't have to be that close to God in order to have this prayer life. We do. We've got to be very close to God in order to just talk to God. So be turning with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. You may be there already. 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's look at verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Now remember I said we're going to bring all of our trouble, all of our anxieties, all of our concerns, our fears, our worries, all those things. We're going to bring them to God, and we're going to cast them upon Him. We're going to take all of those and place them upon God. But we're going to do so by talking to God about it. And we're going to say, God, I'm really struggling with this area of my life. Can you help me? And the Spirit, through the Word, is going to help you. Because that's what this wonderful book is. It's God talking to us. And again, communication is a two-way street. Now, again, that's what you would do with your best friend, with someone that you have a very close relationship with. You share confidences with them. Perhaps the best illustration is the husband and wife relationship. They share things that no other two people on the face of the earth share. But we often have close relationships with other people. And the way that we get close is that we do these kinds of things. So, talk to God. Tell God what you want, what you need, what you're concerned about. The second thing to do is tell God everything. Notice again in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your cares upon Him. Tell God everything. Through prayer, we obviously offer our praise and worship to God because He deserves it. We extol the virtues of God because He's worthy of that. And we see the greatness of God, and we see that He is the one who is able to help us. So we take everything and cast it upon God, casting all our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Now imagine this. Imagine you had what you thought was a very close friend, that you had, over the years, you had built this close relationship, and you were confiding each other. He would tell you things that were sort of a personal thing to him that he was struggling with, and you would tell him things that you were struggling with, things that were important to you. But one day you come up to that friend and you say, you know what? I'm really struggling with this in my life. I'm having trouble with this. And he says, I don't want to hear it. How would you feel? Would you feel betrayed? Would you feel like He really doesn't care about me? Let me tell you, God will never do that. We can take everything that we have and dump it on God, and He is our God, and He's going to take care of us. So tell God everything. Another thing that we need to do, and I want you to be turning back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, is that we need to listen to God. And right away, you might think, as you rightly should, God doesn't talk to me directly today, and that's right. But I've already said it. At least once in the lesson, God talks to us through His Word. The Spirit dwelling in us dwells in us through the Word. So again, as we've been saying, communication is a two-way street. I think it's neat that we have two ears and one mouth so we can listen twice as much as we talk, because that's part of it. And yet, how many people dominate the conversation? You can't get a word in edgewise. How many people don't let you talk? It's a one-way conversation. See, that's not communication. That's a lecture. That's what's going on right here. You can't talk right now. I can. Okay? But later, you can talk. You can give me feedback. Okay? So we've got to learn to listen, because listening is the most important part of communication. All right? We don't just bring our cares and worries. We do that, but that's not all there is to it. God speaks to us, revealing Himself to us through His Word, as we've talked about. And you know, I'm sure that, like me, there have been times in your life where you were worried about how something was going to turn out. You know, you were anxious over some big moment in your life that was approaching, and, you know, will it happen? And you worry, and you've done everything that you can, and you've prayed to God about it, and then after the event is over, you look back and say, why was I so worried? There was nothing to worry about. God was in control. He took care of it. Why was I so worried about this? Well, that ought to help teach us some lessons, shouldn't it? It ought to teach us that we shouldn't worry, that we should pray. But you know, there are also times where God is going to use these occasions to build us up, to strengthen us. He's going to test us. And that makes us better. But I want you to think about the commandments that were given to the Israelites here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 4, but I want you to specifically notice when we get to verse 6 and following. This is called the Shema passage, the Hear, O Israel passage. It begins in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words, now pay careful attention, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Now, do you see what's being said there? God is telling His people that you need to store my word up, and then it will help you. When you are facing a difficulty in life, and you're praying, and you're pondering, and you're thinking, how many times does the word of God come to you? Now, I don't mean that God speaks out of a cloud. He doesn't do that today. He spoke to in times past to the fathers by the prophets. He's spoken to us today through His Son, the Hebrew writer says. But you're facing some difficulty, and a passage of Scripture that you've studied before comes to mind, and all of a sudden you've got this calm. You've got this peace. So notice what the Israelites were instructed to do. He says these words in verse 6, they shall be in your heart. So we're to take the Word of God and ingest it and chew on it and regurgitate it and chew on it some more and keep it treasured up there. And then he says you shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. I'll tell you what, cell phones have done a terrible thing to us, haven't they? Because we don't talk to each other anymore. While everybody's playing Pokemon Go, we should be talking about God's Word. I'm only on level 8 and have been for weeks, so I'm not obsessed like some people, okay? I finally gave in. Dylan influenced me for bad, and I finally played Pokemon Go. Well, we should be spending this time talking to our kids about the Word of God. we should be talking about the Scripture. And then he says, when you lie down, when you walk by the way, when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. This is the Scripture where the Jews today literally interpret this, and they take a leather band and they inscribe Scripture on it and they wrap it around their hand. And they take a little leather box and put it on their forehead. They strap it to their forehead because it's between their eyes. It's in front of them. Now, they've taken it very literally, but we really ought to be doing that. We ought to have the Word of God right there. We ought to be studying it and talking about it, write it on the doorpost and on the gates. You go to Israel, and every Jewish shop you go into, there's going to be nailed to the inside of the doorpost a little piece of a little box with this scroll of Scripture in it. It's there. They still do that. Now, I'm not telling you to go home and stencil your doorpost tonight, but you get the idea, don't you? Have it always before you. Talk about it. Meditate on it. It will serve you well when you are in trouble. God will talk to you through the Scripture. Go back over to the book of Ephesians again. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 6. Notice here what Paul says. He's talking about being faithful servants. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. From the heart. Where did Moses say to put it? In your heart. So, picture this. A temptation comes along and you say, I don't know what to do. Let me go home and get my Bible, and I'll have to look in the concordance because I don't know my Bible very well, and I might have to use the internet to look this up because I don't know my Bible very well, but I'm going to find that verse that tells me what I need to do. Can you imagine that? Or, how about this? The temptation is there, and it's not a sin to be tempted, you know. The sin is giving in. But here's the temptation. You don't have to run back to your Bible because it's here. It's here. And so that temptation comes and God speaks to you because the Word has been treasured up here. And you know what the answer is. You know what God says about it because you've stored it up in your heart. Now, the test is, are you going to do what it says? Are you going to do what God said to do? You know what it says. Are you going to do what it says? That's the question. Listen to God. That's what we need to do. Another thing we need to do is put on the whole armor of God. Over here in Ephesians chapter 6, you should still be there. But notice in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Do you see that prayer is part of the armor? It's part of the defense that we are to put on. And he says, put on the whole armor of God. So he goes through all that list, and then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me that utterances may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. put on the armor and pray. So what benefits do we derive from this? If we do all of this that we've talked about, I'd like to go back to the first chapter here in the book of Ephesians for a moment. Ephesians chapter 1, and beginning in verse 17, Paul says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. What are the benefits of doing the things that we've talked about here? Of studying your Bible, of having it always before you, of letting God speak to you and you speaking to God. Well, notice what Paul says. He says the eyes of your, first of all, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him be given to you. You see what knowledge of the Word of God does for you? The spirit of wisdom. How many of you could use more wisdom? I could. We can all use some more wisdom. That comes through the knowledge of God. Secondly, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You read in the pages of God's Word about how great heaven's going to be. You all understand that. But what if your eyes were open, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened? What if the light bulb finally went off for you? What if you really got it? That's what happens when you do what we've been talking about this evening. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And then he says that you may know what is the hope of His calling, as we talked about there in verse 18. Prayer is wonderful, isn't it? There are great benefits. There's great power available to us because of prayer. But notice that he says in verse 19 that you would know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Do you truly understand the power of God? And in verse 20, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. Do you really comprehend the greatness of the power of God in that He raised His Son from the dead? Well, that comes through study and prayer. And prayer is a vital part of that. So I hope that this encourages you all, as it has done to me, to be more diligent in prayer, to be more serious about it, and to take full advantage of the opportunities we have to talk to God. Because if we hope one day to stand around the throne and worship Him for all of eternity, then we better get to know Him now. We better talk to Him now and live like He wants us to. Perhaps you're here this evening and you're not a child of God. If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, God will hear you, but God won't save you through prayer. The Bible nowhere teaches that you can be saved simply by prayer. The Bible teaches that salvation is through obedience and baptism for the remission of your sins. Maybe you are a child of God, you've been washed in the blood of Jesus through baptism, but you've not been doing too well with your prayer life. Perhaps you've not been taking it very seriously. And you need to make some recommitment in your life, whether publicly or privately. And we just want to encourage you this evening, if you have any needs, if you need us to pray with you and for you, or if you need to obey in baptism, then we're here to help you. If you'll just come now while we stand together and while we sing.